worship with us this morning.
His name is holy name, declaring he is.
God some praise. This next song is so dear to my heart because it simply says, God, we need more of you. And I think in the times that we are going through in this country right now, not a truer statement has been spoken. So allow yourself to really take in the lyrics of this song and simply tell God that we need more of him now. Whatever the answer is to fix this problem, that we give it to God right now. So before I have Nimona lead us in prayer, I just want you to take a minute and think of those families and think of the lives that were lost yesterday. And ask God to be with this country, to be with these people, and help us figure out how to fix this.
This land needs more of you. Our hearts need more of you. Our spirits need more of you. Our mind needs more of you. Lord God, we lift up our hands, Lord God, in this moment as a moment of surrender. And Lord God, we say, give us more. Lord God, let us be your shining light in this world, Lord God. Lord God, give us the answer so that we can show the world the way, the right way, oh God. We surrender ourselves to you and say, use us, oh God. Use this vessel. And for those that think that their vessel is broken or cracked in any area, we say it's sealed right now in the name of Jesus. There are no cracks, no broken vessels here. God sees you whole. God sees you worthy of being used. Worthy, worthy are you. And God says, you are here for this time to be my vessel. So receive, God says. Receive in this moment to the overflow. And when I pour my anointing into you, when I pour my oil into you, it shall overflow. And it shall overflow into your friends. It shall overflow into your families. It shall overflow wherever you go. That anointing, that purpose, that destiny that's upon you. And it is so, more and more and more, Lord God, we ask and we receive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Is good, and his love endures. Yes, the Lord endures forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. For the Lord is good and his love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountain tops.
For there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And when your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Troubles, they don't last always. For there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. With Jesus, I can take it. With him, I know. Tests and trials, they seem to get you down, and all your friends and loved ones are nowhere to be found. Remember, there's a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. With Jesus, I can take it. With him, I know.
Privileged to be here this morning, and I give honor to God before you. I'm going to try to make this short and sweet.
So just go on this journey with me. Sometimes we need to go around the mountain to go up the mountain. So I chose the scripture, many are called, few are chosen. Because I found myself asking God why a lot. Why this, why that? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? Not understanding any of it. So I'm going to take you back before I take you forward and somewhere in the middle. I was born to a mentally ill mother and a father who wasn't ready to be a father. And in that, my sister and I were taken from our mother. I was 3 months, she was 3 years old. And I'm not sure if any of you guys know about the foster care system, but a lot of times when you're taken from your biological parents, they would like to place you with a relative so you can remain in the family. And as we all know, that is not how it goes all the time. So our biological aunt, our sister's mother, our mother's sister, stepped up to the plate and took us in. And because I was so young, this is the only woman that I knew to be my mother. And one day, I called her mom. And my sister immediately corrected me and said, "That is not your mother." So she sat us down to try to explain to us as best she could that our mom was sick. Because at that young of an age, you don't really understand mental illness. But that didn't stop the desire for us to want to be with her. And I'm going to try to get through this without crying. So because we had such a desire to want to be with her, our aunt, let us be around her, let us visit with her, only to be exposed to her many episodes because she didn't take her medication. Her irrational behavior and the things that she would say that didn't make sense to us, but in her mind it did. But that still did not stop the desire for us to want to be with her. So being so young, I just asked why. Why this life? Why this family? So as I got older, I started to discover my gift, my talent. And it was escaping my life and going into the lives of other people, acting, characters, stories. I was able to leave this life behind and for a moment in time, experience something so new. Imagination. And I'd like to live there, you know? I love to just bask in that because I didn't know how to deal with this over here. And so I did plays in grade school and drama in high school, and I majored in fine arts in college. Because I was just so fascinated by this idea that you can escape. You can escape this horrible world we live in for just a moment in time and live someone else's life. And I was so good at it. Oh, I was so good at it. So I said, okay, I'm going to be an actress. I'm going to move to LA, Hollywood. I'm going to be this famous actress. I'm going to make all this money. Fabulous life. It's going to be me. That's what I'm going to do. So after I graduated college, 2 years later, I moved to LA, 2009. Just as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and naive and green as you can be. With my dream in one hand and my faith in another. See, no one else believed in this dream but me. Nobody else saw it but me. Because God gave it to me. So you can't expect other people to understand something God gave to you. So I got here and I was like, I'm here. Steven Spielberg and Spike Lee, I am here. I'm ready. And when they didn't jump out of the bushes and say, we got you, I said, okay, it's going to be a very interesting journey. Now I'm from Chicago, which is a very theater town. LA is very different than anywhere else in the world, as we all know. So I had to get acclimated to LA. And I was here probably a couple months, and I met a man by the name of Troy Skinner, who became my mentor, my friend, my acting coach, my family. And I studied under him for 4 years in his acting workshop before I landed my first gig. I was honing my craft, working really, really hard. And I was called to audition for a role on a new show called The Fosters. Now, this one role was girl number one, a 17-year-old juvenile delinquent who beats up the main girl in juvie. So I must have did a really great job at that because people really thought I was this person in real life. I got such hate mail and comments on social media. I was like, people, I'm not this person in real life. She's okay, it's just acting. But I must have did a really amazing job because a year later, they called me back. And they wrote me into the show. So when I get to the producer's meeting and I look at the sides, now the sides are just a little excerpt of the actual script that's going to be used in the episode of the show. It said Daphne, but it was spelled very different than my name is in real life. I said, the character's name is Daphne? I said, yes. The character's name is your name. I said, wow. Okay. I accept. And then the backstory on this character, 17-year-old juvenile delinquent with a 2-year-old daughter in foster care that she's trying to get back. The storyline is my life. It's not a coincidence. It's not just by luck or chance. It was God. And in that, I found my purpose in life. Now, I'm not too sure if you guys understand how this acting world works, but there are thousands and thousands of actors that come here on a daily basis to pursue a dream. And in that process, you have an audition, a callback, a booking. So you have thousands of actors that are submitted for this one role on this one show or film or whatever. But not everybody gets an audition. Thousands are submitted. About a third of that actually get the opportunity to go in and see the casting director. From that, a third of those people get a call back, get to go in front of producers, the network. And then from that group of people, one is chosen. So you have all these people that are called, but only that one is chosen for that role. So it started to make sense to me. My life started to make sense. I didn't go through everything I went through in vain. I was simply a vessel. Because I'm on this show portraying my life as my name. And the impact it had on people who watched, to this day, I still pinch myself. When people come up to me and they say, "You changed my life. You prevented me from killing myself. I'm going through exactly what you went through." I'm like, wow. The responsibility of it all, I don't take lightly. I didn't go through what I went through for nothing. I wasn't chosen to be on this show for nothing. It was a platform. It's a platform to be able to impact, to give back, to motivate, to inspire, to let people know that I am you and you are me. A lot of times we don't understand what we go through. We don't, because we're going through it. But God uses you. You are the chosen one that he uses to go through something, to make it through, and be the testimony. What an honor that is, that God chose me. Little old me, who just had a dream, who just wanted to be this actress, who wanted to escape this life that she was given for a moment in time. What an honor that is. And the fact that he has been with me every step of the way, explaining things. So I no longer ask why. I say, why not? Why not me? Why not tell my story because somebody else is going through it? Why not say, hey, you know what? I'm not ashamed of anything. I am who I am, and I come from where I come from, and that's okay. And I accept myself wholeheartedly. So the reason this scripture is so important to me is because a lot of times we don't even know we're the chosen one until we're called for battle, called to go to war. Not everybody's equipped, not everybody's skilled enough to do it, not everybody's strong enough. So the loads that you carry, that you may feel weigh you down and are a burden, are the same loads that are going to lead you to your destiny and your purpose. And so I want to leave you with this. I said short and sweet. Melinda was like, look, you got a time limit. You better hurry up. You better figure it out. But like, okay, I had this whole speech. Yeah, not going to work. God knows you before you enter this earth. He designed you, handcrafted you, gave you every flaw and every beauty mark. He knew your life before it's going to happen. He knows what you're going to go through. He knows what you're going to experience. He knows the sins you are going to commit before you commit them, and the love, unconditional love, and forgiveness he's going to grant you. Because we've all had a long, hard road. But he's going to use you for his will, for his greater good. And you have to allow him to. Because you may not volunteer to be the chosen one. But he's going to pick you. Exactly. Accept that. Stand in that. And let it be an honor that God chose you to do his work. To change this world, little by little, do you know that you've impacted a life, you've changed it, or you've saved it. Thank you.
Angels and saints, we sing worthy are you, Lord. God bless.